Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Paul F. Tompkins.
And I'm Nicole Parker.
On this podcast, we improvise in character using real posts from a popular neighborhood networking website.
Occasionally, we change the names of some streets.
And that's all you need to know.
And now, please enjoy this episode of
The Neighborhood Listen. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Your neighbor.
Good. In Dignity Falls, you're never alone. You've got the Neighbor Half app and us.
Bert.
And Joan. From coyotes to mail theft to weird things to sell, we'll cover it all.
And meet new neighbors as well.
We'll chat about any posts you're missing. So just tune in
to the Neighborhood Listen. Who would you...
I mean, it's been so long.
Let's. I know.
I'm going to say welcome back. Welcome back.
Okay. Oh, wait. Are you... Sorry. I thought you were going to say more to me before you said welcome back to the audience.
No, I was going to say... I'm going to say welcome back. You say the next part.
It was... Okay, that's where I thought you were going. But when you said, I'm going to say welcome back, your voice went up. And I thought there was going to be... And then you will say...
Oh, boy. We are rustier than we thought we were, Bern.
We're rusty. We are rusty, like an old bike left out in the rain.
Welcome back to the rusty old neighborhood.
Are we allowed to say that? I think we are.
I don't know.
Welcome back to the rusty old neighborhood. This is the Neighborhood Listen podcast.
It's a podcast. There was a question mark there, but it is a podcast. It's a legitimate podcast.
I did not mean for it to be a question.
I think it's become so much more. You know what? It's become more than a podcast. It's become a community, if you will.
It truly has. And a lot of people, do you remember, some people are alarmed by it because you remember there was that satanic panic in the 80s.
Oh, sure.
And now there's a few people here in our neighborhood of Dignity Falls who think that there's something a little, for lack of a better term, evil about our podcast and the community.
Is that? Oh, wow.
You haven't heard this?
I need you to expand on that.
Oh, boy. Yeah. They're saying it's not right that people who live in a neighborhood are focusing so much on the other people. They think it's gossipy. They think it's rude. And you know, obviously we have the opposite intent. We want to share our neighborhood with other people. We're not trying to talk smack about them behind their backs.
No, I would say that's what Christian church ladies do. I'm sorry, but that's all they do.
Oh,
in fact, they're doing that to us. I mean, say glass houses. Well,
clearly they are. I say,
which is a terrible realty investment, by the way. A glass house is a terrible investment. And let me just tell you, as Joan Pedestrian, just hello, just in case you don't know me, just joining our podcast.
Yes.
My name is Joan Pedestrian. I'm not to brag, but I'm Dignity Falls's, you know, top realtor. And
many years running.
Many years. Yes. Well, decades, we'd actually.
Yes, I can brag on your behalf. You have been, as far as I can remember, you have been the top realtor in Dignity Falls.
Well, I have. And you know what? I if there was a top pharmacist of Dignity Falls, I think it would be you.
Well, unfortunately, there isn't. It's not me. But it's not, you know, not the average person.
There's a top pharmacist?
Yeah, there is a top pharmacist.
Oh, burnt. I didn't mean to bring up open a sore wound.
No, that's okay. His name is John Guilford, and he is, people just consider him to be the best. Of course, he's a Walgreens man.
Boo-hiss.
I like to think I'm in the running for number two.
Oh, well, absolutely. Well, you're number one in my heart, Bert. Well,
Joan, that's very sweet of you. And yes, my name is Bert Mia Payday. I am a pharmacist here at the CVS in Dignity Falls. And what I do is I fill prescriptions. I say next. These are the types of things that I'll do day in, day out.
And you clean up the occasional knife fight blood off the carpet.
I pitch in. I mean, it's not my job, but certainly it's that's an all hands on deck situation. And I'm the closest thing there is to a doctor there. And so, you know, when it's blood, I'll do a lot of like, don't touch it, you know, that sort of thing.
Bert, if you're on a plane, I don't know how much traveling you've been doing in the last 15 years, but
Tons. If
someone says, where do you go?
Well, I've been everywhere twice.
Everywhere.
Pretty much. I mean, everywhere you're allowed to go. But full disclosure, I have not been to Antarctica.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm a very well-traveled person, and maybe, I don't know if before I've said that I am not a well-traveled person at all, but I misspoke earlier if I said that. But now I'm telling you, and this is this is for the rest of the year. This is the truth for the rest of the season. I am an extremely well-traveled person, and you know, I like to travel with a steamer trunk so I can put my decals and stickers on there.
Oh, that's delightful. You know, I love that kind of thing. I love that kind of throwback way of traveling.
Absolutely.
But now, my question, the reason I asked is because you said the closest thing to a doctor in a pharmacy. Yeah. When you're on a plane and if there's an emergency and they say, is there a doctor on board? Do you feel pressure to stand up and try to help?
I mean, obviously, I'll give it a beat to see if there's a reluctant doctor in there.
Sure, sure.
And I'll look around to see if somebody seems guilty or they don't want to do it. They're rolling
guilty.
Their eyes. And yeah, they're guilty because they know they're a doctor and first do no harm. And they're thinking, I know the way these guys work, Joan. And they're thinking, well, I'm not doing harm because I'm not doing anything. And it's like, obviously, that's a sin of omission. And you are doing harm
so
by not
acting. You're
saying
most doctors who've taken an oath, just sworn an oath to take care of people, that mm-hmm. when someone's in distress on the plane, all of them are thinking, ugh, yeesh, don't want to do that.
Well, they just want to enjoy the plane ride. They're always in first class. And, you know, they're just sitting down to their bowl of warm nuts and you know, they're waiting on dreaming of that cookie, and they don't want to get up and fish something out of somebody's throat or whatever it is.
Which is the most common accident that happens on the plane.
I mean, I've never been on an airplane where someone wasn't choking.
Wow.
Never.
You have traveled so much. So, you know, on average, you're going to just see that as often as you travel.
Maybe, that's right. Maybe it seems like more to me since I've been on so many planes.
It could be. It could be. It's just a collective, you know, cumulative amount of choking. Now I want to get back to this. But first of all, I want to introduce my husband, Doug. Say hi, babe.
Yes. Our engineer, Doug.
Howdy. How are you?
Howdy, he says.
Well, yeah, like I said, we're a little rusty, but,
you're doing great, Joan.
Oh, thanks, babe. Thank you so much. Doug is our engineer. And Doug, can you say something to Bernd? I don't want to start off the season this way because you two have always had some tension.
Sorry, it was not meant to be a slight to you. You're doing great, too. I just know Joan was a little nervous.
Oh, I see.
Okay, I wouldn't say that. I thought that was bastard bedroom talk.
You were white knighting your own wife.
Well, geez, I was trying to be supportive. I haven't seen her all day.
And you know why? I can't find Doug. He is in the Squid Room room.
The Squid Game room. Inspired by the popular Netflix television show from
As everybody
Acuna.
Knows, South. If you listen, we...
Hey, I just simply have to tell you, I'm excited about a podcast. Not just this one that you're listening to, but another one that you can and should listen to. The title, it's simply called Tiny Dinos. It is hosted by Connor Ratliff and James III. They play two best friends who are scientists, and it's all about a top secret experiment that will change the world, but as we know it. Each episode of the show, Tiny Dinos, features fun guests like Jason Mantzoukas, Adam Conover, an FBI agent, an AI assistant, a crank doctor named Crispy. It's the opposite of sanity. It's madness. You also might find a familiar voice on there sometime soon. I'm not saying it's me. I'm saying that's the chances are. And just in case this show sounds like it could be for kids, fuck you, it's not. There's blackmail, graphic descriptions of violence, and people say the F word like I just did. Not a lot, but the F word does come up. Probably more than the one time I just did it. So listen to Tiny Dinos today. It is out now wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Paul. Goodbye.
Hi, everyone. It's Nicole. How are you? Listen, the weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, and luckily, I found Quince. Now, I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. That's right, I said less, not more. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. And I love that. Now, I love also all the items that I've already gotten from Quince. I can wear my sunglasses year-round. I got a pair of sunglasses from Quince. I'm still concerned that I'm not cool enough for them and that I can't get away with it. But I also got some amazing joggers for my four-year-old son, and I tried them on. I'm sorry, it's just weird. I know it's weird, but I wanted to feel the luxury. And let me tell you, they're fabulous. Now listen, get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/TNL for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That is Quince.com/TNL to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/TNL. Bye.
Way to get that in there.
I didn't want people to think we were watching North Korean television, which is probably just a bunch of propaganda.
Way to carrot it in. So as anyone knows that listens, we like to renovate homes with themes. And this one was all Doug. And it is a mess because he tried to have a tip of the hat to every single episode in this one room. Ooh, but I'll tell you, there's a set of stairs in there to get into the room. You just go all up and down. The creepy music is playing. I cannot find him. And I do not care for it. I got to say, I don't care for it. He put in the doll. He put in that creepy doll.
The red light, green light, whatever.
Yes. And
the problem, I think, is that I haven't actually watched this show. I'm just picking up.
He's just going from the memes.
What I've heard.
From the memes
online.
Sure.
So it's just close-ups. It's just the stairs. It's just the... And are you wearing your sweatsuit, babe?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I'm wearing my
He bought it on Amazon. Suit.
It goes all the way to the shoes. It includes shoes.
As a suit does. Oh, yes. I thought you meant the length of it.
Oh, it's like footy pajamas? Is that what you're saying?
I thought he was explaining the pants went all the way to the shoes.
Yeah, that's a standard feature of pants. Unless you're getting into different. Well, yeah, most pants will go all the
way. Most of my pants go.
Otherwise, they're shorts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What about if they're.
I'm sorry, Doug, what were you going to say? Most of your pants do what?
Go about like mid shin. What do you call that?
That's a capri?
Straight white man.
A clam digger? Kevin Smith?
No, it's those, it's those khakis. Exactly. They have like a million pockets, that dads wear.
Okay. So they're cargo shorts kind of, but they go to the.
Right.
To
but they're mid- almost, they're calf. Longer than that. Okay. They're worse than cargo shorts. Yeah.
I've never seen Doug from the waist up. Isn't that funny? As long as we've known each other.
Even when you come over, he's always sitting behind something like he's pregnant on an 80s sitcom.
He's like a reverse Wilson.
He's always carrying a bunch of books or a briefcase or a laundry basket. Or some groceries.
I thought Doug may have been with child. Obviously, you never want to say anything.
Especially because he was setting me up for all those punchlines.
That's right. He was setting you up. You got to be the funny one.
Bumps that spike. It was great. It was such a change.
Now, Joan, the Squid Game room, this is people, if you're a first time listener, Joan and Doug, they have a very I hope this isn't insulting, but an eccentric home.
There's
so many different rooms, and it's fun for sure.
Oh, thank you for that.
So many different rooms that you're always attaching. It never seems to get any bigger, and I don't know how you do it, but the outside, for lack of a better term, footprint of the house looks, you'd never know what's going on in there.
Well, don't forget, we've dug down way deep. Right. I mean, that's where there's a lot. We've dug a lot. It's Pirates of the Caribbean under there. All right. Well, then, you know what? Let's pivot, because I do know that our listeners are going to want us to address the fire jumper in the room.
Oh, okay? Dear. Yes.
If you remember, we and here's the thing. We left things sort of tense. And I just want to fill in our viewers, because they might be thinking, why are Brent and Joe getting along so well? Because the last time we heard them talking, his fiance put a bounty out on her twins, you know, and in case anyone else forgot that, that's what happened right. at the
that's
end.
Correct. And yes, so
yeah, you were engaged to a woman named
Kathy.
I
was engaged. It was a whirlwind romance. I met a smoke jumper. I know I was using the term fire jumper over and over again.
Oh, I see.
And I think that's incorrect. We don't talk about work a lot, but we got engaged. She was a very exciting woman, and you know, she thought my job was exciting because I had access to so many pills, and we just had a real. You know, it burned very brightly, but it did burn out. We are no longer engaged.
Oh.
We got right up to the altar. Of course, it was at Red Rocks, and John Tesh was going to officiate. And
yes, I was at first. We had a little tension because I wasn't asked to sing.
Right.
Which I took really personally.
Right. But John Tesh assured me that he had a beautiful voice. And as you saw, nothing could be further from the truth. He couldn't. It was a real B.B. King situation where he could not sing and play at the same time. So he would be playing, then he would stop and he would sing a little bit.
That's where the comparison ends. But he did try to get John Tesh's right. cafe on Times Square.
Yeah, yes, he did. He did. And I you know, more power to him. It wasn't, you know, I admire that he believed in himself, but unfortunately it was not the vibe we were looking for. And I apologize, Joan, that we did once again that we did not have you sing us down the aisle.
Well, I mean, I've sung at so many weddings, so it was a shock, I will say.
Well, part of it too was I didn't wanna tax you. I didn't, you know, when you have one little figurine of a little piggy, and then everybody thinks, oh, just buy her a piggy. She loves piggies. And then your house is crammed with piggies, and it's like a hoarder's situation of one thing.
Piggies.
Yes, and then you die under them, under the weight of them.
Oh, my Lord.
Well, it could happen.
This is so specific, this story. This scenario is so specific, Bert.
It happened to those hermit twins. They were hermits, and they lived next door to each other, and they died under the weight of their own booby traps.
Booby traps?
Well, one of them did. One of them set some traps.
The booby traps were all just heavy? How they die under the weight of their own booby
traps?
That's
a good question. And maybe it wasn't the weight. Maybe they just got caught in one. I can't recall.
Or was the emotional weight of them?
Oh, now you're getting into territory that I cannot speak to, because, you know, my emotions are very tightly kept inside. But this is a fact that I learned when I was a child, and I remember only the haziest details.
Those make the best stories.
Agreed.
So just walk us back really quickly. You got engaged.
Right.
Yes. Tell us again what the timeline was between the engagement and the actual wedding.
If I, from the engagement to the wedding, probably 72 hours.
That's right. Yeah. I just couldn't remember. I remember it was fast. I didn't realize
it probably seemed like 48 hours to you. Because it was so fast.
It did. Well, being rejected to be singing at an event was
okay. Well,
that
it's
was
not. It's not. You weren't really rejected. It's not like you submitted a claim and we said no.
Well, I didn't think I had to.
Well, okay. I think I've made my reasons clear. So, at the altar, because John Tesh was doing such a, I'm going to say it, piss poor job.
Can you get into the specifics of why it was so bad? What was so bad about it?
Did he play the NBA theme song?
He did, to warm up. Yes, he did. And of course, it reverberates throughout the Red Rocks, and it's very stirring.
Yeah. And how did you get that venue, by the way? I don't remember you explaining that to me.
Well, he knows somebody, so he was able to, because he plays there all the time. It's practically his backyard,
sure.
You know.
Sure.
And so he got us that, and because Gabby knew him, because one time she was smoke jumping, and you know, her chute got it caught a real big draft, and she drifted all the way out of state and into Los Angeles. She ended up in Westwood, and she landed in John Tesh's backyard. Well, that, you know, Gabby was very a very friendly person, and they hit it off immediately, and they became lifelong friends.
That's an amazing story. I didn't realize that. I don't think I even know what smoke jumpers do.
Well, they okay. let's say there's a big fire going on.
Sure.
And they say, we need someone to approach this fire from the air. And so they get in a plane and they drop somebody with a parachute down into the fire.
To do what?
To put it out, I guess.
Okay.
I think it's, you know what I think it is? And I, you know, again, we didn't talk about work a lot, so I'm not sure on all the details, but I think it's a sort of fresh eyes situation.
I see.
Where like they've been on the ground, they're trying to put it out. They're like, wow, I don't know. What can we do? Let's get somebody in the air to look at this, jump right into it and see what they can do with what they've learned.
Okay. So
I think they do have some equipment. I'm not sure.
Okay, fair enough. And so, okay, so 72 hours. And was it, how many guests did you have?
On my side, there were four people. That was you, Doug, Jalliope.
Yeah, the twins weren't allowed. Twins. Well, okay, yes, only one was because, again, Gabby had a bounty out on them.
That's right. And so I thought if I bring one of the twins, which the one I think is the better one, she
which
will
one is that?
See that they're
Oh, you think Matt's the better one?
I was not going to invite Tanch because he is of the two. Oof. I mean, they're both wild cards, but then Tanch is a wilder card.
Fair enough.
So I thought if she meets Matt, she'll understand these are just boys and they're just high spirited. They're getting up to hijinks. They're not like intention. I mean, well, they're not arsonists in the classical sense. But I'm glad to see that theory was borne out. They got along famously. I mean, look, Gabby meets anybody and she just, you feel like you've known her your whole life.
Oh, are you missing her a little bit? Do you have any regrets?
No, I cut that all off. As soon as she said, I don't think this is working for me, I just shut everything down inside. And I said, it was nice to meet you, ma'am. And I turned on my heel and I walked out of Red Rocks.
And then, of course, we met up with him later, you know, picked him up in the car because there's in the middle of nowhere.
I do appreciate that. I admit I didn't really think it through.
You just didn't think it through. I understand. It was a real cinematic moment.
Absolutely. I was just thinking I have to get out of here as quickly as possible. And and so I turned and walked away and I tried to keep my dignity intact. Obviously, I slid down the side of one of those Red Rocks and it was mortifying. I mean, it tore up my clothes. Yeah, I have a permanent red stain from hip to ankle on my right leg.
It's like a henna tattoo of broken hearts.
They're so red.
Oh.
Yeah.
The rocks, yes.
Yeah, I just couldn't believe how actually red they were.
Doug was
astounded. Yeah, I remember you said that approximately 150 times. It's correct. All he did was say how red the rocks were. Yes, exactly.
Just couldn't stop saying
it. I missed so much of the ceremony. I was just in awe of those.
Well, I think that's what caused John Tesh to snap was when he got to the ceremony and he was so close to the I'll pronounce it man and wife and he just said, "Hey man, they're red." We get it.
That was my favorite part.
Yeah, I'll bet it was. I'll bet it was. All eyes on Doug. So,
I'm glad that you have a fresh start. I'd like to know if you'd like me to put your profile back up to see if we can get a match.
If you've saved the details, then sure. Well, let's see what
happens. I have them here. I mean, are your hobbies still standing behind counters?
If you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Lucky you.
I bet I said that last time too.
Possibly.
It's probable.
Okay, well then let's get you back out there, okay?
Bert? Okay,
let's
sure.
Get you back out there.
Sure. Now enough about me and my miserable life. Joan, let's talk about you and what are you still, is the musical still running where you were doing a half Maria, half Gypsy Rose Lee?
No. That's in the past. That was a different time. I'm into just pushing myself a little more than just doing two parts at the same time.
It's time for a challenge for Joan.
What I really want, I mean, I keep teasing it, but what I really want to do is this one-woman show that I've been, you know, where
Joan, you've been talking about this for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see it so badly. Please tell the people about it.
It's evolved. It might have been different back in the day when I told you about it. Now it's sort of like a one-person recreation of Dignity Falls. And I take you through all of the different, it's sort of a history of the women of Dignity Falls and how far we've come and how far we have to go.
This has changed a lot because...
Tell me what it once was.
When you first told me about this, it was the birth of the Spice Girls. And what you were going to do was you were going to portray each of them in utero waiting to be born and then coming out of the birth canal and realizing what their identity was.
You're right. Now when I hear it back, I'm like, that's a slam dunk. So why did I abandon
it? It's great.
That?
Now you have two ideas. That's great.
I could do two acts.
You could do both of these shows in one night?
Sure. Why not?
Well, if anyone could, you could, Joan.
Listen, if anything has taught me the last two years has taught me anything, why not? You know, just go for it.
If anything has taught you, it's got to be the last 2 years.
That's right.
What you have learned and what you have learned is why not?
If anything has taught me, it's not syntax, but it's taught me to really
If taught me anything
it.
Has.
Eat for go.
It's that kids love to eat eggs. Okay, that was a Baby Yoda reference, of course.
What I want to do is to portray as many characters as possible, you know. I want people to just be astounded at the amazing plethora and abundance and cornucopia of women that were here before us, pioneer women, I want to be very physical. And of course, there's going to be music. I'm going to be writing all the songs. Doug is doing the lighting. We're very excited.
How many songs are you thinking?
I mean, somewhere between like 26 and 50.
How many songs are in your standard Broadway musical? I never thought to count them before.
Oh, well, I mean, it depends. Is it sung through? Is it a vita? Well, then then there's like thousands, you know, they never stop singing. So is it just one big song
or is it
several songs?
Wait, so even in a musical like that, like this counts as a song. Why does he say that? And that's all
it's called recitative. Is what that's called. Oh. When you're talking like this and you're saying something very fast and you are talking, this is recitative in an opera or in a vita.
I thought that was an after dinner drink.
I think that's a reparative. What is that word? Aperitif. That's what it is.
Aperitif.
An aperitif. Yes.
Is après-ski before or after?
It's after.
It's after.
Avant-ski would be before. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's not a thing, is after. Correct?
I don't think so, but it should be. What is that show
Why can't
about?
You get drunk before you ski?
Avant-ski is just the shitty drive up the hill. So how many songs are, I didn't answer your question. I don't know. There really are a lot of songs in most musicals. You know, there's usually probably at least 10 in a first act, 10 or 12 in a first act.
That's a lot. That's a lot. Wait, and there's another act to go?
Of course. Musicals are way too long these days. It takes 3 hours just to finish
Agreed.
Them.
Agreed.
I think every show should be about 90, I was going to say seconds, almost 90 minutes. And that's it. You're done.
90 seconds. That's like a TikTok, right? How long are TikToks allowed to be? Or can they be any length?
Oh, I don't know. You'd have to ask Jalliope because she's into all that.
Oh, she's big in the social stuff now. Making the videos. Does she make the front-facing comedy?
She does the ones where it's like, you know, my mom in the background, you know? So it's like she tries to scare me. She tries to startle me. She tries to do pranks on me. She does a lot of, you know, point of view things, and it kind of makes me look stupid, and I don't like it.
Does she ever include that? Sure. Does she ever include that song? Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no.
I hate that one so much. I hate it.
Do you know, honest to God, Joan, I heard it in the wild the other day, and it was a very strange experience.
How is that possible?
Care for it at all. I was at a rival drugstore.
Oh, my God. What an admission. You want to say that? Should we cut this out? You could have said anything else. It'll just be, I was at the park.
We can cut it out later, but I did go to a Rite Aid because, what's that, Doug?
He's a little late with the cut.
This is reminding myself. It's sorry okay, for maybe. Later when, to cut okay. that.
He's just going right. to say that. Yeah. Okay.
You don't want to do like a clap or something to see a difference in the waveform?
Oh, I can recognize the cut. Yeah, I set it up so
oh, okay.
I can
you
see
know
that
waveform. What it looks like when you say cut.
Yes. It's okay. very clear.
Oh, all right. I stand corrected.
All right.
He handles all that stuff. I don't know anything about it.
So yeah, I the kind of the kind
back
of
in.
Well, I haven't okay. even said the thing that I need cut from the episode yet.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay.
What I meant was keep I'm going to cutting. Say that you can cut it out later. Okay. Now what? What happened now?
I don't know. All I need to know is what it is you went and got and why you heard that song.
Well, you know, there's a they have it at this Rite Aid. They have the vitamins that I like that are you know a multivitamin, and they are they're a what I like about them is they're a bigger size, and mm-hmm. so it's really hard to get them down, and so it forces me to think about my life in a very critical way because there's I just feel like I'm gonna die, and but there's
are these
so
the new heart ones like a Spinsons for adults
yes,
they're the
exactly.
shape of the cast of Newhart.
That's right. So I'll put down a Mr. Hartley or an Emily, and it'll just be like stuck there. Dr. Hartley, excuse me. Mr. Carlin is what I meant. And it'll be like lodged in there, and I'm working with my throat muscles to get it down. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, I'm thinking like, are you happy, Bert? What's going on with you? But the thing is, even with my discount, and this is the this needs to be cut out. Oh. Even with my discount at CVS, cut. They're still cheap.
There he was. Right. It was a little better. That was a little better, babe. That was fast.
They're still cheaper at the Rite Aid after the discount.
Oh, now you're even saying which one it was. Wow.
Well,
burnt.
Yeah. I mean, okay.
So
and back
what
in.
Was the song? Okay. But was thank the you. Song playing? thank you. Was the song playing?
The Oh No song from TikTok was playing as if it was a normal song.
Oh, that's
made.
Terrible. Is there a longer version or is it just repeat over and over?
Oh, I ran out of there. Uh-uh. I grabbed my Newharts and I fled. So, Joe, we got off topic.
Oh, we got it. What we do is we have to go to a commercial break. Because now we're as long as most musicals.
I know. That's disgusting. I did want to hear more about in the next episode. We'll talk about
we'll get to
I really
it.
We'll
want
get
to talk
to about
it. Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. I feel like I've hogged the spotlight.
No. Trust me. Everyone wanted to hear about what happened with you and Gabby. So that was more important.
Well, I hope those, you know, TMZ-like vultures are satisfied.
Always after you.
They're always after me. And I almost said my lucky charms, but that's not a situation that I have to deal with. All right. Why don't we take a break?
Yes.
And then, Doug, do you want to throw us to break?
Oh.
Oh, sure.
Is that something you feel comfortable doing?
Yeah. Totally comfortable.
Okay. Right.
Into break.
Okay. That's not.
That was.
All right. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I said it. I said win Mother's Day. I'm Nicole Parker, and I'm going to tell you how to give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. She will love looking back on your childhood memories and seeing what you're up to today. Even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep uploading mom's frame with new photos. It truly is the gift that keeps on giving. And I gave my mother-in-law one, and it's great because I have a 4-year-old son, and she just gets to have constant pictures streaming to her kitchen counter, which is where she keeps this frame, because I guess that's where grandmas really do love to be, right? In the kitchen. No, grandmas belong everywhere, not just the kitchen, but the kitchen happens to be where she keeps her frame. All right. Now, the other thing is I have a son, so I hope that someday he gives one to me so that I remember what he looks like when he's 30 and it isn't call. Also, some other fun bits of trivia about the Aura frame. It's loved by the press. It's featured in more than 130 gift guides, and it has been selected 3 times as one of Oprah's favorite things. Don't look under your seat. You don't have it. I didn't give it for you. You have to get it yourself, but it's easy to set up. It's the perfect gift for any occasion. It has free unlimited storage, and you have complete control over who has access to your frame. And the Aura app lets you share photos more securely than with email, which is how many other digital frames do it. So right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off, plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's A-U-R-A Frames.com. Use code TNL at checkout to save. Terms and conditions, oh, they apply.
Frames. Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, this is Connie Kirk, and I have a china hutch to give. 82 inches tall, 57 inches wide, 17 and a half deep. You will need a truck and muscles to move it. If you don't have muscles, don't even bother. I would just like you to drive to my house in your truck and come inside my house and move this china hutch with your muscles. And then you can just have it and we will all win. So contact me, 17 and a half deep.
And Doug, do you want to bring us back from break?
Back in.
Okay. I knew. I don't know why. Okay.
Well, you asked me to do it. I don't
know. I do. Doug, I do. And I don't know why what I expected. I don't know why I thought it would be something different, but
it sounds strange, but it's for the podcast. It's for the editing purposes. So again, I can see if I give a really long, complicated back from break spiel, then I can't see the waveform for that.
Well, are you saying that's what we do?
Well,
I don't think that's what he's saying, Bernd. I don't.
I mean, he just looked away for the longest time. His eyes just went out the window.
There was a red rock outside. I just was looking at that.
Oh my God. Boy. Oh, you're just obsessed with these. You're seeing them everywhere now.
It's like Richard Dreyfuss and those potatoes.
Oh, that's right.
Sorry.
Those were white. Those were white.
Those were white.
Right, but it's just he was seeing that mountain everywhere, babe. That's all I meant. Oh, in the close encounters of the
Devil's Tower in Wyoming.
That's right.
So if you're listening for the first time, what we do on this podcast is we go to the popular neighborhood networking app called the NeighborHap, and we look for posts in our own Dignity Falls, and that's a way that we get to meet our neighbors and share them with the world.
And there's nothing satanic about that. My God.
Why is it? It's not satanic. We're just screen capping things from the internet.
Seriously. Ugh, Jesus Christ. Anyway, okay.
Yeah, we're wearing robes. So what?
This post comes from Gary, and it says, "Hello, neighbors. I read a post in my feed earlier from someone about people jumping a pool fence to trespass in their community pool. I'm a certified CPTED practitioner. I don't know what that means, Bernd. I mean, that's either a long acronym. And offer CPTED. I'm just going to say CAPTED. And offer CAPTED assessments and other security consulting services to improve home security." That's a little repetitive. One aspect of CAPTED is using, quote, hostile vegetation to deter people from entering spaces around your home. Below is a brief article about how hostile vegetation works. If you'd like a CAPTED assessment or are looking for a home security consultant, please feel free to DM me or send me an email. And he puts his email, and this is Gary. Now, what's interesting is when we contacted, we tried to contact Gary, and we have an email, of course, that we know all our listeners can always contact us if you have posts. We got an email from not Gary, but one of the, it turns out as Kid, who is a trespasser in community pool areas. That's how he described himself. So we've got him to maybe explain his side of the story. So please welcome Dill. Is it Dill? Is that just a nickname? Dill?
Yeah, you can call me Dill, or you can call me Dylan, or Dilbo Bilbo, or Dildo, or Dilbo Baggins.
Oh, wow. There's so many options.
Yeah.
How old are you?
Wait, we should choose one first.
Oh, well, which one do you like? Which one do you like?
I mean, Dilbo Bilbo was really crying out to me.
Okay, we'll do Dilbo Bilbo.
Except for, how about you call me Mr. Bilbo, because you're respecting me so much.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know. Enough. Do we respect you? I mean, it seems like so far you maybe had participated in criminal activity, Dilbo Bilbo. Do you want to explain yourself?
True, but Mr. Dilbo is a guest on our show, and I think we should accord him.
So you want Mr. Dilbo. This is what we're deciding to do. Mr. Dilbo.
Yeah, I kind of, my dad says I command respect, huh? Because I wear a belt.
Okay, so your father says, owing to the fact that you wear a belt,
yeah,
this commands respect everywhere or just around the house?
Yeah, because everywhere. Because my dad's an entrepreneurial and he works at Citibank in the town, and he wears a belt, and everyone always calls him Mr. McGinty, which is his last name. So then, if people call me Dilbo Bilbo, then I should be Mr. Bilbo.
I'm trying to follow that logic. Okay, so Mr. Bilbo.
Yeah, because my dad's an entrepreneurial.
An entrepreneurial.
Yes.
Okay. Just an entrepreneurial. I thought there was something maybe after.
Stop,
an entrepreneurial.
Full stop entrepreneurial.
Full stop,
yes,
entrepreneurial.
Exactly. I thought so,
okay,
too.
Okay. 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 How old are you?
Any?
I'm 14.
Okay. Yeah, that's exactly
14.
Okay. Guess.
These are classic 14-year-old hijinks.
100%.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Dilbo. You say your father is an entrepreneurial, but he works at the bank?
Yeah, he works at Citibank. He's kind of the main boss, and he's touched more money than anyone in the town.
Whoa.
Oh, how is that? What is that? Okay, Doug.
Like physically touched it.
Doug's impressed right off the bat.
Because you know how money can be digital on a card or money can be on papers? And my dad, he literally touched 100 million of all the bills because they come into the bank and my dad's got fast fingers and he counts them so freaking fast, he commands respect.
He counts the money?
Yeah.
In the bank?
Your father is, I think, the manager of this branch of the bank, and he personally counts the money that comes in?
Yeah. He has brain and eyes so fast you wouldn't believe. That's how he introduced himself.
Oh,
are you
that's
getting this
wonderful.
from him? Like, he tells you that he does this, or you've seen him do this?
That's a good question.
I heard people whispering at the grocery store, oh, there goes Mr. McKinty. He's brains and eyes so fast you wouldn't believe.
I mean, I feel a little silly. I haven't heard of him because it seems like this would spread like wildfire in the town.
Yeah, he has kind of a secret life because he gets his own office at Citibank and only really, no offense, important people get to go meet him.
Really? Okay. Now, where is that? Because I've been in that. Is this a Citibank on a Poplar?
If you have to ask, you can't afford.
Okay, well, it's a bank. It's a bank, Mr. Dilbo. And you know, anyone can go into the bank and deposit money.
Hang on. Is this?
I don't think women are allowed.
Oh, well, I don't. I haven't heard of that in this town. I believe they are. In fact, I think I've been. Is that the Citibank on Poplar? Are you talking about that one?
No, it's on Tree of Life Junction.
Oh, the one with the water feature.
Yeah.
Yes.
And my dad, his hands and his fingers are so fast. He put together all the stones on the water feature, too.
Whoa. Oh, my twins used to go there and they used to climb that water feature. That's why we weren't allowed to go back anymore.
Are they girls?
They aren't. They're boys. Like
oh,
you.
Okay, then. Yeah, I believe it.
Oh, okay, girls so, can climb too. Come on, Mr. Dilbo. Don't be like that. Who's
Mr.
telling
Dilbo,
you things like
you
this?
How old did you say you
were again? 14.
14.
Who's telling you that women can't go into banks and women can't climb?
And that your dad built the water feature.
Is your dad saying that?
I heard people at the grocery store saying, oh, there goes Mr. McGinty. His eyes and his brain so fast you wouldn't believe. His fingers built the water feature.
Okay. So at the grocery store, these people usually open up with, there goes Mr. McGinty. His brains and eyes are so fast. And then they fill in a new fact about him.
Yeah. And that's usually how I learn about my dad because my dad doesn't really talk to me.
Oh, and when you're at the grocery store, are you there? Hang on a second. Wow. I came in with that question. Now, this is more important. We have to backtrack. He doesn't really talk to you?
No, buddy, lets me push the cart as long as I'm so quiet and so fast.
Okay, so you are in the store with your dad.
Yeah.
And is it you two that always do the shopping? Is your mom in the picture? I'm sorry, I have to ask.
Oh, no, my mom's long dead.
Oh.
Like, how old were you when so she sorry. Died?
Oh, she died giving birth to me because I'm huge.
Oh, I see. I see. I see. I mean,
do you know how much you weighed when you were born? I mean, you're kind of normal size.
You don't look particularly huge right now.
But it's because you can't see my rump. My dad says I have an epic rump.
Epic.
And wow. I was only born normal, like 9 pounds, but it was all rump and such a small brain and head. And so because my rump was so big, it got torn up on my mom.
It got...
Because the doctor...
But that shouldn't lead to her death, really? My goodness.
Yeah. I mean, because a woman can pass a 9 pound baby, I would assume no matter how the weight is distributed.
Yeah, because the nurses said, that I was like shaped like a basketball and leathery exterior too. And so when I came so tough and round and 9 pounds, my mom and other women's bodies not meant to handle that.
Huh. Now who told you that?
Right. Someone at the grocery store who used to be a nurse.
Is it? Let me ask you, right, Mr. Gilbo. Is it the same people at the grocery store saying these things every time?
It's actually Mr. Bilbo because I'm Dildo Bilbo.
Okay, I'm so sorry. Wait. I really thought Mr. Dilbo was a choice there.
Dilbo Bilbo.
Okay, wait. But if we put the Mr.
So there's
then
another
it's Mr.
person
Bilbo.
Named Dilbo Bilbo.
Oh, no, that's me. Anyways, I go to the grocery store every Tuesday with my dad, and it's awesome. And it's our awesome, epic time to be dudes together. And he shops for all the bananas for Citibank, and I get to push the grocery cart.
So he's the
bananas for Citibank. Oh, do they have them on like a display?
No, for the staff room where the VIPs go, because those guys need, because they're counting so much money and they can't get their hands too sticky, but just sticky enough. Bananas are the best kind of treat.
No, I don't believe, Dale, I don't believe that Joan was asking, does he buy the bananas for a display at the bank? I think she was asking, does he grab them from the display at the grocery store? But then also, why would the manager of a Citibank branch be buying bananas for the staff?
Because I don't know why, but I heard people say, there goes Mr. McKinty. His brain is so fast, and he can't see that money. He built a water feature in the front, and he has a heart of gold.
Okay, so
that's why he supplies the bananas and snacks for Citibank out of his own heart.
Can you tell me how else are his brain and eyes so fast? This is something that keeps coming up a lot.
Yes, pretend you're at the grocery store.
It can't simply be just the way he counts money. What else is so fast about his brain and his eyes? How does he move through the day? I mean, is he like a superhero?
Well, I only ever seen him at the grocery store, so I know he finds the bananas.
Hang on. Does he not, you don't live together at home?
We do, but he says upstairs, dad stairs. So I never really get to see him there, but when it's time for me to push the cart, that's our quality dude bonding time.
Do you meet him at the grocery store?
Actually, we have our own cart because my dad's so rich. So I hook it up with bungee cable to the back of the car and I ride in the cart on the way to the grocery store.
Cool.
And I'm expected to have hopped out and packed up the bungee cables by the time he's in and has seen his first banana.
Okay, hang on. I just feel like you're getting different messages from your father. You know that shopping carts are free. They're free.
I don't know
everybody.
That he's getting.
You don't have to have your own shopping cart.
I don't know that he's getting different messages from his father. I feel like the message is very clear, and it's the same every time.
Different was the wrong word. You're right. You're right. Yes, because he's making you think that he needs to own his own grocery cart. That's not a thing.
He's not making me think anything. I'm a free thinker.
All right.
And my dad's a really good man with a heart of gold.
Okay, what? So then what do you like to do for fun? What do you like to do for fun?
Well, I'm the champion and prime minister of the Young Men's Cannonball Association.
Oh, okay. This is a group of you and your buddies and you hop the fence in the public pool and you're doing cannonballs. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's me. I'm the president and prime minister. And then my congregation is Brady Thomas Bradmas, Brian Tompkins and Tompkins Bryanson.
Okay. Wow, that is quite a similar sounding group of guys.
I know some of those boys. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
Bradley.
We're the good old boys.
Yeah, their dads wore those shorts we were talking about. This is to get to that point about the pool that Gary posted. So this person was, I'm assuming, posting about you. And with the names that I just heard, I think that they would all have keys to community pools. And so why are you having to trespass in, or is this just part of the rush is just jumping over a fence? And are you jumping over the fence straight into a cannonball?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's awesome because all our dads, you're right, all our dads are entrepreneurials. So we get together for the Young Men's Cannonball Association to do words of affirmation, goal planning, goal setting, calendar events, and love language practice. And we also do cannonballing, which is for personal strengths and feats of strength for young men who would like to be entrepreneurial. It starts with the bravery of the body.
Okay. And entrepreneurship does start with cannonballs. It is true. Could you describe the love language exercises? Sure.
And then I have some questions about the dad being an entrepreneur who is a bank manager as well, which I feel like was not satisfying.
I mean, there's so many questions. Okay. So love language exercises. Walk us through that.
Well, there's the main love languages, which are important for any little boy to know if he wants to grow up to be an entrepreneurial captain or man or father. And so it's touch, laugh, gift, acts of service, and prank.
Touch, laugh,
gift, acts of service,
gifts of service,
or prank.
Gift.
Acts of service, gift, and prank.
Gift and prank.
Yeah.
Is it gift and prank?
Prank.
Or gift and prank?
Gift, ampersand, prank.
Thank you, Oxford comma. You've made things clear once again.
Do you know what that is, Dylan? An Oxford comma?
My dad said British people are liars.
I mean, a case could be made. Dill, so you guys, do you all go together to hop the fence, and are you aware that you're trespassing?
Well, that's kind of the part of it, because if you're a little boy, little strong boy with big dreams, you have to be willing to do what it takes, and even if someone says no, you have to look them in the eye and say, actually, yes. So even though there's signs around saying don't go in here, don't do trespassing, we have to say yes.
Why is that?
So to learn to be a strong boy and get up big and do entrepreneurial.
Ooh, Bernd, this really concerns me a little bit. I don't know that this is the message these young kids need to be getting. That's
no,
not the only way to get to a successful place in life, Dill, is to just, ignore rules and
I'm
going to
stop you right there, Joan, because it's not the message I'm getting. It's the message I'm giving.
I see. So you,
because I'm the leader and captain and prime minister of the group.
President. Yes.
Yeah.
And so you see yourself as a role model to these other boys who are all your same age.
Yeah, because even though we're all the same age, when we met, we all sat down and we drew a picture of our dads on a card, and we put the cards in the middle and talked about who's most entrepreneurial and with brain and eye speed and all that. And my dad was number one, so now I'm number one.
Okay. And what are the other boys' dads do? Are they similarly entrepreneurials?
Yeah, Brady Thomas's dad is a firefighter, but not in the way you think, because he actually just trains the dogs. And then Thomas Bradmus, his mom's on crystal meth, and so that's how come he gets to go visit the rehab center, which makes him really strong and brave. And Tompkins Branson, his dad's actually, I don't want to say.
I thought you froze there for a second.
I did too.
I'm actually scared to say because he promised me that I shouldn't tell anyone.
Well, I think it's safe to tell. We can always cut this out, right? Right, Doug?
Yeah, could you do it?
Yeah,
cut?
Would you like a cut?
Yeah, would you give us one of your
bad
cuts?
I'll tell you. Okay, and
cut.
Okay, now it's safe to talk. Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
Tompkins Bryanson, we only found this out because we all played Ouija board together, but his dad's Poltergeist.
Whoa.
What? Okay, Doug.
Back in. Okay, so that's how he makes a living.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Dill.
But he's not as rich as my dad doing that. He's only second rich.
Oh, so the,
you mean
the father, the one father is the second richest because he's a poltergeist.
Cut.
Cut. Yes, exactly. Cut.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. So while we're cut, I'll explain it to you. So he's poltergeist. So he has a different, because it's funny because he's kind of opposite of my dad because he's a poltergeist, but he works at Ghost Bank in Ghost World and he makes ghost bucks. And it comes from getting people to scream. Like, have you seen Monsters, Inc., how Scream makes the power come to electricity? Well, his dad's a poltergeist. Every time he makes people scream, he gets scream bucks. And that's how come his son, who's Tompkins Branson, has the nicest clothes. Okay, uncut.
Dill, you're a teenage boy.
This is tricky because, you know, Bernd does not believe in ghosts or poltergeists, only ghouls.
I do believe in ghouls. That's correct. But ghosts are a fairy tale. So Dill, I feel as if you're telling us.
He's telling us that there's an underworld with a ghost bank.
Dill, I think you're telling us some tall tales here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm literally not. You're not in the Young Men's Cannonball Association, so you're not privy to, sorry for British slang, all the information that we have.
I'm also getting the sense, is this just a motherless crew? There don't seem to be many mothers of influence
like
in this group.
The Lost Boys. They're just living feral. There's clearly no fathers in the picture, and they're just a band of roving little feral boys.
Yes, and I'm worried because Gary is going to plant hostile vegetation around.
We already lost a guy to it.
Oh, what happened?
Yeah, because, you know, Thomas Bradmus, he went jumping over and got spiked up the groin area and butthole, and he got on spiked from a cactus, and it went up into his innards, and it came out his mouth.
That's horrifying.
It was horrifying, just like that, like how you said.
I think we would have heard about this, no?
It was kind of funny at first. We were like, oh, we were like, look at check it out. We were like, oh, shit, Thomas Bradmus got spike out his mouth, and we were all making TikTok of it, and then we realized he was long dead.
So you laughed first, was your instinct.
Yeah, because we thought he was practicing.
So the spikes coming out of his mouth.
We thought he was practicing the love language prank.
Right, but so the prank would have been to make you think that he was dead in a gruesome way, right?
Yeah, and because that's my love language.
Your love language is prank.
Being pranked, or just prank.
Oh,
yeah.
I guess I thought if your love language is prank, that you would be pulling the pranks, not eagerly receiving the pranks.
Okay, quick lesson on love languages, prank. So if my love language is prank, actually that's how I give and receive love.
I see.
So when Tompkins Bryanson had the spike coming out his mouth, I was receiving prank and I was liking it until I figured he was dead.
But he was not giving prank.
No, but I literally thought he was.
He's giving I'm dead.
He's giving dead. Yes. And then I'm sorry, but what did you do next?
Well, that we had to continue Cannonball Society as usual.
So no one
that's why you keep mentioning his name. You mention his name when you talk about all the members as out of respect.
Yeah, because he's actually Poltergeist now, too.
Oh, boy. Bernd, I mean.
Yeah.
Listen, I've been through this with two boys before, and, I think.
This exact thing?
I would say these boys are having innocent fun. just the part of tall tales, like you've said, and an imagination, a healthy imagination is a good thing. But if it's led to a child's death that was apparently not reported, I'm hoping not covered up.
Little boys.
I don't know why. For some reason, I believe that part.
I don't. Yeah, you really.
I'm concerned that that's real.
Now, little boys love to lie. It's very true. And I remember. I'm no different. When I was a kid, I remember I lied about a wolf coming to our neighborhood a couple times.
Oh boy!
People got all up in arms. And then, boy, oh boy, that third time, a wolf actually showed up, and it was a mess.
I'm literally not lying. And if you guys say I'm lying one more time, my dad, who's the captain entrepreneurial at Citibank, is going to come and he's going to cut off your fingers and put you in the dungeon that we have underneath our house, and he's gonna put a penis transplant on both of you and make you be prisoners. And that's true.
You know what? I would like to have a word with your father.
Yes.
I gotta
say. Is he there right now?
No.
Where are you right now?
He's not here. He's at Citibank in the important room with the other important VIPs and the bananas.
No, honey. Come on, take a deep breath. You're okay. You're not in trouble.
Just rivulets of tears just streaming down his face.
I mean, so many. Your face, he's getting so red. You're okay. All right,
you're okay.
You didn't do anything wrong. I think.
Well...
Just go with me, Bernd, okay?
Okay, I'm trying
to calm him down.
All right, okay.
Because really, we've got a problem here. We've got an absent father who's basically convinced his son that he's a superhero.
But here's the thing, though. We're getting all this from this little psychopath, and he could just be spinning an enormous web of lies so that we can't believe anything that he said. I don't believe he's 14, by the way. he seems much, much younger than that.
I do. I have to agree with that. I do agree
Thank
with that. You're welcome.
I mean,
you're
maybe
right.
Seven, he seems. based on his syntax. He doesn't.
Sure, and the full, and
you can't complete sentences. It's, yeah,
I can literally hear you guys.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. I see. I'm concerned as a mother, but Berndt is also making a good point that you could just be on here just having a laugh. Maybe you're making a TikTok of us right now. I don't know.
This sounds. You know what this sounds like? Prank.
Does sound like prank.
I'm not like you're having prank. A laugh. I'm literally was just having a cry.
How can we believe that those could be crocodile tears?
Yep.
Speaking of the Lost Boys, crocodile.
Fine, fine. I'll tell you the truth. My dad's name is Joseph McKinty. He got divorced from my mom 3 years ago. Now he's married to a woman named Shannon, and he doesn't want to see me on Christmas. But the truth is, he does work at Citibank, but I lied about him letting me come with him grocery shopping, and I also lied about being 14.
Okay,
but so not about his brain and eyes being really fast?
His brain and eyes are so fucking fast.
Joan, why would you? Oh, language. Language. Dill.
Sorry, but like, she's pissing me off. Boys.
Hey, young man, we're not going to have little boys swearing on this show and disrespecting Joan, the number one realtor in Dignity Falls several decades
Thank
running.
Thank you. I just I'm not trying to upset you. I'm really sorry that I did. I'm very worried about you. And I just want to make sure that you're not being neglected. And the reason why children act out is because they feel like no one's paying attention to them.
Back in. So here's the thing.
Can I ask?
Oh. Yeah. Go ahead, Doug.
I was just wondering if Mr. McGinty, brains and eyes so fast, did build the water feature or if that was a lie.
Doug.
That was actually true because he,
yeah, sure.
But that's the cool. Only, that was his only job at Citibank.
Oh, so he doesn't.
Oh, so when he works at Citibank, you just meant he had a contract job for like a couple days.
And he,
uh-huh.
But uh-huh. He still kind of works there because he goes to fish out crud from the water feature.
Fishes out the crud.
It's good fishing.
What's that, Doug?
I take the twins fishing there all the time. It's a great water feature.
For crud?
For crud.
Don't do that. You'll make my dad lose his job. That's my dad's job.
Oh.
Babe, I thought you were taking them to an actual lake when you took them fishing.
You're saying
no, the water feature's right there. Man, there's plenty of crud in there.
I don't think of that thing as stocked with fish. You're just cleaning.
You never know.
That's what you're
there's
doing.
There's just coins in there, babe.
Sometimes you get the coins in the crud.
Oh, sure.
And you keep the coins.
What are you fishing with?
Fishing pole?
I don't see how this works.
I think you're now are being lied to by two people, Berndt.
They're both giving prank. Dill, you live with your mom and your dad.
Yeah.
You say your dad doesn't want to see you, not even on Christmas?
No, because he's married to Shannon now and he's got other kids too.
Your step siblings.
Yeah.
And are they just, they're not easy to get along with?
No. And they don't want to talk to me either. They go to a different school even.
Wow.
Oh, really? So you're in this house with, and you live with them? Are they older than you?
No, they all live with my dad. And those kids
Your dad.
They go to prestigious academy, and I just go to old Crap Fest.
So you
Crap Fest Elementary really, really does need to be torn down.
It's spelled with a K, by the way. I know people are laughing out there. And two S's. And they go to prestigious academy.
Yeah.
That's a tough school to get into.
I know. And I begged my dad that I could go to prestigious, but he said, no, you're Dutch. You have to go where all the other Dutch kids go to Crap Fest.
That is true. It was named after Heist Crap Fest. Yeah. Yeah. Who was one of the founders of this town. You know, he ran the cheese mill he brought
into the ground.
He brought all his amazing recipes from the old country, and right.
They turned out to be stolen.
And he was actually a horrible person. We found out later.
He's the only person ever to be ridden out of Dignity Falls on a rail. They tarred him and feathered him, and they put him on a rail, and they actually, and I mean, those guys were tired. They jogged him all the way out of town. right up to the city limits, and they came back, and they were, those guys were wrecked for days, but they were pleased and proud of what they'd done. So,
But they'd already named the school, and it was already up, and so that's why it's just there. But we should really rename it, honestly.
We really should, for many reasons.
For many reasons.
But anyway, I don't mind going there, because that's where I met the other boys, you know, Brady Thomas, right. Thomas Bradmus, Brian Tompkins, you know, all those Tompkins, Bryansons.
And none of them have died, right?
Well, that one kid actually did. I wasn't lying about that.
I knew it. Oh, that's horrifying. I'm so upset.
Joan, you called it. That was the one thing. That was
sure
true.
Did.
But that's why I wanted to come and about talk it. To you guys, because something's got to be done about this Gary guy who wants to keep doing spikers in all the different pools. Like, other little guys like me and my friends are going to keep dying from it.
Well, why? But Dill, what? Just take the hint and stop trying to climb the fences.
Thank you. Just don't do it, honey. Just stop. You know, there's lots of other things to do for fun around here. You don't need to impale yourselves on cacti.
What else do I have? A bunch of lies about my dad who's not around? A stepmom named Shannon who doesn't want any worthless penny to do with me? A grocery store that I never even been inside? A banana I never even tasted? A mom who's so quiet I can't even hear her when she speaks up? All I have is a pool and my cannonball boys.
Well, honestly, he's making a compelling case, Joan.
Well, it was very, I mean, it was dramatic and poetic, and my heart goes out to you. Yeah. But, you know, how about just go over to the old quarry? Because there's some great places to jump out there.
The quarry! You can jump all over the place.
Yeah.
In that fetid water.
You know what? Adults like you say, oh, I'm worried about him. He seems to be on his own. He's telling tall tales. But all you can do is send me out to the quarry on my own.
Well,
you act like you want to help, but you don't.
Hold on a second. What about your crew of cannonballers? Are they a lie as well?
No, they're all real.
Well,
they're all
come with
real.
You to the quarry. Oh, okay, now I'm
they're real and they're my very best friends.
Wait, here. Okay.
I mean, he does know their names pretty fast off the top of his head.
Brian Thomas, very practiced.
Oh, no, yes, see, now he's okay. Just saying it over and over
they're
again.
My very best friends. They're my very best friends. They love me for who I am.
Growing up in a little ball.
They love me for who I am. They love me.
He looks even littler than normal.
Brady Thomas, Thomas Bradmus, Brian Tompkins.
Oh, now he's rocking.
But look at that rump. It is enormous.
Oh, wow.
He
doesn't need a belt, I'll tell you that. Does not need a belt.
Doesn't need a belt.
Okay, you caught me. I'm the sole proprietor and only entrepreneurial in the Cannonball Society.
Oh, okay.
Dill, we're just worried
about you. Break
you
down like this. We really are. I mean, that was really hard when you said to me that I'm worried about you, but I'm really not. And then I really, really am. And I'm glad that your mom's alive. And see, listen, women are amazing. I knew she could get that rump out and not let it, you know, a woman's body is incredible.
It can pass any size ass.
So we really are worried about you. Let's see. Okay. Other than the quarry, what other fun things are there to do, Bert? What did you do here when you were a kid for fun?
Oh, we used to. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Well, we used to
cut.
We used to. Yeah, cut. We used to rob the dime store, where you get the penny candy and everything. The corner store, we used to rob that. Not just shoplifting either, but sometimes we would put on masks. But that was, we were little. We were like 6 years old.
But now you've had Connie your whole life, right? Did he come along on those stick-ups?
Yes. I got Connie from the Sears Wish Book when I was 5 years old. And a lot of times he would be a member of our gang, yes. We'd put a little mask on him too.
All right. Well, that's not going to work. And listen, I'm going to be very honest with you, Dill. Okay. Maybe I'm wanting to help you because I, being very, very candid here, feel like I kind of made some mistakes with my boys. Okay. I will admit it. I can't tell you to do what they did because they set half the town on fire.
Yeah. They're terrorists.
They're doing better now. Sorry?
Nothing.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, Doug can isolate your audio and I will find out what you said later.
It's funny that you say that because your twins set the town on fire and all I want to do is plunge my little body into water. So every strong little boy is an element.
Boy,
wow,
I guess that's
very
true.
Deep. Well, what I don't want you to do is hurt yourself.
No, we don't want that deal. We want you to be safe. And it sounds like you're risking life and limb trying to get past these traps that Gary has laid.
Yeah, so Gary's the problem. Do something instead of telling me, oh, run off and jump in a courier. Oh, put on a mask and rob a dime store. Go after Gary and his spiky plants.
Gary is merely, he's not the problem necessarily. Gary is merely a narc who is capitalizing on someone else's misery. But the real problem is you could get hurt because there's more Garys out there than there are Dills, I'm sorry to say.
That is true. Is it wrong to suggest that he maybe prank Gary?
It is, but let's do it.
Oh, that's an awesome idea. What's Gary's last name and where does he live?
Okay,
we're not going to tell you.
What's his family like? Does he have wife or kids?
Okay, I immediately regret this suggestion.
We don't know.
What does he drive to work and does his car's brakes work?
Nope. I'm walking it back.
What's he allergic to?
No. Oh, my.
Okay, no. Dill, this is
what?
Not the way.
What are the other?
Okay. Take me through the list of the what was it? The love language again. Okay. So there was back prank. In. There was back in. There
touch,
was
prank. Laughed, gift, acts of service. Prank.
Okay. That one. Acts of service. Acts of service, Dill. You know what you should do? Some acts of service. There's plenty of places to volunteer. You can volunteer down at the soup kitchen. You can volunteer at the retirement home. Oh, my goodness. The
library.
Those ladies would love to have you there.
But that's not my love language. My love languages are laugh and prank.
How about this?
You thought about stand-up?
Are some of your jokes impractical? Because that's a way you could make some money.
There you go.
Let me ask you this. This could be a way to combine two love languages, and you don't have to do anything extra. You do sign up to read to the old folks at the what is it called? We don't want to call it an old folks home.
Oh. Is that where you live, Bert?
No, I'm not quite there yet. I'm sure to you I must seem a million years old.
That got a chuckle out of me.
Oh, well, I'm glad we're...
It's the million years home. Are you talking about Million Years Home?
The Million Years Home.
The one down
yes,
on...
Yes, Million Years Home.
Okay.
Which I think is such a rude name.
That's the one on Tree of Death Junction, right?
Yes, that's on Tree of Death
Again,
Junction.
Again, poorly named. Yes. Poorly named.
Yeah. Why would that... I mean, the name of the junction predates the Million Years Home. I mean, why would they ever call anything Tree of Death? So
many children ran their bikes into it.
That's right. Yes.
And then get rid of the tree.
I would say get rid of that tree. And then you can call it anything you want. But if you go to Million Years Home and you volunteer to read to the old folks there, they don't know what you're reading. Just you pretend you're reading to them, but you make up one of your tall tales.
Yes.
And then it's like you're pranking them, but they don't even realize it. The best kind of prank.
That's great.
Oh, that's an awesome idea. I will.
Well, there you go.
I will come and read to all you and your old friends, Brunt.
I'm not there.
I'm not that old.
It's Burnt, and I'm not that old.
Yeah, I know that when you're little, like 7 or however old you are, that people like us seem very, very old.
Yes.
Okay, but not.
I'm a middle-aged man and I live in an apartment.
Because you guys are the oldest guys I've ever seen. Can I practice a story on you?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to pretend. I'm going to say, I'm going to read to you today from Catcher in the Rye.
An old person favorite.
And I'm going to start from the beginning. Once upon a time, there was a hilarious dick with hairy balls on the bottom and jizz coming out the top. And everybody was fighting over who was going to suck on it. And then the guy's dad came and said, you're in prison. And then Holton Caulfield stuck orangutan up his dick.
Oh, he knows the name.
And he went and he got drowned in the ocean of shit.
Dill. I think you want to cut.
Well, you had to say cut before.
Too late. I know.
Right. Yeah.
This back just in. So you know to
Dill,
go back.
I think that you need to be a little more subtle to start off with. I wouldn't start off that way. I would lead up to that so you could get the most out of the prank.
I'm impressed in you holding Caulfield. I'll just say it.
Yeah, I'd put that more towards the front, and yes. the big dick with the hairy balls I'd put towards the end of the story.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Before you are hauled out of there at the very beginning of your prank.
Thanks for teaching me, Brent. Will you be my dad?
No and no.
Thanks for coming and talking to us, Dill. I hope that works out for you.
We need to thank him. But Dill, best of luck to you. I hope that you'll be nice to your mom. She's doing her best, obviously.
Yeah. I forgot to tell you guys something.
Oh, boy.
Remember the part where about how somebody jumped over the fence and got Spike up through their butt, through their mouth and died? That was actually my mom.
Okay.
Oh, come on now. Now I'm done.
No, it's true. It's really sad, actually. She was looking for me, didn't know where I was running off to at night. So one night she followed me and I already knew about that spiky plant. So I didn't jump over that part, but she did and she got dead. And now I'm on my own.
There's no way we're going to believe that now. You've burned us too many times.
Yes. And, also, I just saw a lady passing through in the back behind you, yes, in the hallway. So
a poltergeist.
Oh boy.
Okay. Dill, I hope you will figure out how to behave yourself. Please leave Gary alone. Best of luck to you.
Just take care. Just try not to get into too much trouble. Okay.
Yeah, knock it off. Best of luck to you and knock it off.
Best of luck to you and knock it off.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, everybody. Can I just say one thing before I go?
Okay.
Holden Caulfield has big hairy dick and balls and ass juice.
All right, okay. That's it.
All right.
We're gonna be right back after this commercial. Cut it, Doug.
Cut it. Break.
Hey, this is Steven. I lived in Dignity Falls for over 35 years. One of the places that is like home to me is Palermo on Gerald Ford Avenue. So many memories. When I walk in, they call me Dignity Falls Steve, and some don't know my actual name. Tony is always so friendly and goes out of his way to make sure the service is fast. We've had so many parties there. At one party, I went to the men's room and came back without my mustache of 40 years. The table was in pandemonium. My son levitated. No one in my Dignity Falls family had ever seen me without a mustache. Like the song from the old show, Cheers. It's nice to go where people call you by name, parentheses, even if it's a nickname, in parentheses. Hashtag love your neighborhood.
And back in. All right. Well, boy, that Dill, Joan. What a little rascal is too soft of a term.
Well,
he's a little prick. I mean, I don't know what other word to use. He's just a little prick.
No, I guess we were kind of just wasting our time there. He was just having some fun. Oh, well.
What a nonsense.
I mean, he was prank all the way to the end.
There's no way he was over 5 years old.
There's no way. His voice was so high and so
much. He spoke, his syntax. Oh.
Everything about it. Well, listen, I can't judge someone on their syntax.
No,
you heard me earlier.
No. Well, now I liked that. If there's one thing I've learned from, what was it? How did it go?
I don't know.
If I've learned from anything, it's the last 2 years. And here's what they taught me. All right. Okay. So we just have time for one more post. This is from Sean here in Dignity Falls. And there's a picture of a dove, I guess, because it looks like a pigeon, but it's not gray. So that's a dove, right?
Yes. I've always been confused about that. I mean, dove gets such a fancy, elevated, upscale term, and it's really just a pigeon.
Just a pale pigeon. Yes, exactly.
It's a pigeon.
We're making them the symbol of peace and why. All right. Sean posted this picture of this dove sitting on a roof or on a wire, bird on a wire, classic. He writes, "The new neighbors moved in today. If you look closely in the last photo, you can see he's carrying bird nest materials and it kind of looks like a mustache." Now,
we'll post the picture.
We'll post the picture. Not zoomed in? Absolutely not.
No.
Zoom in a little bit? No.
Still no.
Zoom in as close as you can. He's clearly just carrying some straw. It does not at all look like a mustache.
Not at all, because it's a twig, and it's a very long twig. And I can only see it showing off out of one side of his beak. I can't see the other side of the mustache.
You have to zoom in so closely to see against the sky. And by that point, you're just looking at pixels. You know what I mean? You're looking at
because this is a grainy colored photo
squares.
To begin with.
It's a grainy. There's another thing.
Photo.
You know, you can't.
If you're going to listen, what's his name? Sean.
Sean.
This guy just wanted to have one of those. viral moments where he thought he found an animal doing something funny. And it was a reach.
He thought he had the next pizza rat. And let me tell you something, Sean. You can't take a low-def photo of a glorified pigeon holding a twig and say it looks like he has a mustache.
No, I mean, the twig is clearly coming out underneath where his mustache would be. That's the other problem. Now, a Fu Manchu, maybe. But not
also, nobody in Dignity Falls cares about some dumb, commonplace bird like this when we have those cranes that come every year. And it is like Jurassic Park.
Why is he taking a picture of those?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They are terrifying.
They actually have mustaches.
Some of them appear to have mustaches. It's true.
Okay, I haven't really seen that myself, but I admire that you're supporting your husband.
There's just these long feathers around their head, and just depending on if they've been in the water,
birds.
Sometimes they can hang down as if they look like a mustache. But those birds are huge. They block the sun as they fly past.
I mean, oh my God, when they're flying in formation, you really think like, well, it's finally happened, World War III, and then you realize, no, they're just a bunch of dumb birds, albeit huge birds. They're just too prehistoric, and I think they're also what's attracting the shoebill storks that have been coming, and they're just mean birds who are dumb as dirt.
So mean. To believe that that's who we think brings us babies, I mean, they would never be delivered safe.
Well, I don't think people think of the shoebills as bringing the babies. I think they more the classic Vlasic pistol. I think it was too many ick words my brain didn't want to say. Classic Vlasic pickle.
You
birds.
Do not lie. You don't have a brain as fast as Mr. McGinty.
Okay,
sorry.
Now that was a lie. So I feel like my brain could be every bit as fast as that made up person.
Of course it could.
Dill.
Yes. Okay, I understand. A Vlasic pickle, a stork. Sure.
Because they have the long beaks and the shoe bills. Well, they have a bill like a shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And they just look at you with the dumb eyes.
Wouldn't that be like a shoe tongue? What's a shoe bill?
A bill.
Yeah.
The bill is the beak.
No, I know. On a
like
shoe,
a duck bill.
I mean.
On a shoe? No,
its shoe doesn't have
like
a bill.
The bill is shaped like a shoe. There's not a shoe. Like the shoe doesn't have a bill.
No, I know. I thought that you were saying the tongue of a shoe can also be called a bill.
No, I never said that. I think that you introduced tongues, and I was confused.
Listen, I'm not familiar with the shoebill stork, so
I have a regrettable news about the cut thing.
Oh no! Oh no! What?
What now? What is the problem? We were doing it by your system.
I know. I said that was my system, and I tested it out before the show for a long time, and what I realized I did was all I said was cut over and over again. You know, with long pauses in between. So I thought I could really recognize that waveform because
it was
so
the
clear.
Only waveform.
It was,
right.
That's what I'm realizing.
And the
now.
Rest of it was just a straight line.
So now this just looks like a huge mess. And I don't think I can pick up.
I'd call that a fatal flaw.
What you're saying is all that's going to be in this episode?
I'm afraid so. Is that?
Yeah. Oh, there's nothing you could do. There's no way you could listen back to it and take those things.
Nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing.
Well,
to be
if
done.
I go backwards, then I can listen in reverse. Is that what you mean?
Okay.
Babe,
no,
I think you need to come out of the Squid Game room. I honestly think that it's messing with your head. And I think that it's not.
Because there's got to be no window.
Oh, no, 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 no. He's playing the music. Oh, my God.
What does this mean?
Creepy.
When this comes on.
Doug, you've got to get out of there.
I haven't seen the show. Is this a good? Is this?
You better get out. It's not good. It's not good.
It's not good.
It's not good.
The door's locked.
Something very bad's about to happen. Why did you rig it like this? What? Okay, that is absolutely, that's horrible.
Okay,
turn it off. Can you turn it off? Can you turn it off? Can you please turn it off?
I think we should go and deal with this.
Yeah, well, you need to get out of the room because I think it's really, really bad for you. And so...
That room is bad for you.
The room is bad for you. And I don't know why you put it in there. And by next episode, I feel like we'll have gotten rid of it. I really hope so.
I hope so. I hope so.
Okay, so I'm going to...
I would delete
I'm gonna
that
put
room.
Your, yes. But I'm going to put your profile back up and we're going to see what happens.
Oh, great. Okay? Thank you.
Okay. And we're going to see
and
if
this
you have
is
any
on,
matches.
This is on, what are the sites? Where do you put this?
Well, this is just on Suburb Sex.
Okay. And do I have to join that?
Well, I created a profile for you, but you will have to download the app.
so I can see who wants to have sex with me.
Right. Well, that was one of your priorities. You wanted sexual intercourse.
Well, yes,
you wanted emotional intimacy, and you wanted
sexual
TV
intercourse,
buddy.
So emotional intimacy, and TV buddy. Yes.
Yes. And so I decided to try.
I'm going
to
say, let's open it up. We can edit the profile a little bit. I'm up to mix it up as well. Any combination of those. If it's like an emotional buddy, someone to watch TV with, and sexual intimacy. If it's
that's lovely.
If it's a sex buddy,
or is it someone to watch sex on TV with?
Oh, that sounds fun.
Right, sure.
But not that real sex. I don't want to see sex that's real.
And so how do you mean? What would you want to see?
Well, pornography, of course. But I don't want to see people from that HBO show real sex. I want to see more attractive people than that.
Oh, gosh.
Is that, I hope I'm not going to get canceled.
Well, we're not cutting it because Doug can't. So, it's there now for all time. All right. We're going to get him out of the room and we will, we'll be back with you listeners, very soon. And thank you so much for coming back. It's
absolutely
great to be back.
And look, we're thrilled to be back. I'm looking forward to a great season. If you want to write to us with, something from your own neighborhood, you can, give a screen cap. Hey, if you want to give a screen cap and send it to us at burntandjoan@gmail.com. No comment threads, but interesting posts is what we're looking for. The comment thread, if that's what makes it interesting, we don't want it. So thank you. I hate to be so stern to our listeners. We love our listeners and they've been so complimentary. But again, just no comment sections. That's our one caveat. All right. Well,
I got it.
Okay. Well, I was done. So, it's very hot in here, Joan. I apologize.
It's all right. You started out hot, and you know what? Dill didn't really do anything to cool down the temperature.
I'm finishing. No, he really aggravated me, and I think I'm taking it out on you. All right. Well, sorry, Joan. You're of course a wonderful friend, and I look forward to next episode hearing more about your one woman show about the history of Dignity Falls women.
We will talk all about it next time.
Yes, we'll.
Until then, goodbye
and bye.
All of the posts used in this episode are real. Only some geographical specifics have been changed.
The Neighborhood Listen is executive produced and hosted by me, Paul F. Tompkins.
And me, Nicole Parker.
Our producers are Brett Morris and Judith Cargbo.
The show is engineered by Brett Morris, who also plays Doug.
Dill was played by Lisa Gilroy. The Neighborhood Listen is an Earwolf production.